Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, listen, there's a lot of talk about what millennials want and why they want it. So what's important to them in terms of their jobs? Is it the title? Is that more important? Or the money they make? A new report out details that many millennials are willing to take a pay cut in order to get the title that they want, and that many are more concerned, not all, but many are more concerned about how they are viewed on social media in order to, let's say, keep up with the Joneses. What is that all about? Tonight, we are going to talk about it. The phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. And with us tonight to help further this conversation along is Dr. Natalie Hopkinson. She's an assistant professor with Howard University's Communication, Culture, and Media Studies. And Brittany Johnson, she is a senior executive producer at Podcast Village, and she is a millennial. Dr. Hopkinson is not. And with us also is Richard Shackle, account manager with Cintas Corporation. Richard also is a millennial. You millennials out there, we want to hear from you. You baby boomers like me, we want to hear from you also. And Dr. Hopkinson is not a baby boomer. She's a Gen Xer. We want to hear from you, too. All of the above. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I am going to start with the millennial. That's right. We have two of them. Ladies first. Brittany Johnson.
Hello.
Why, and it is not a monolith, but why do so many millennials want a title overpay?
You know, I don't believe that titles matter, but I do believe that titles get you into the room that you need to be to get to the next level. And that's why at the end of the day, millennials care about making sure that they get the title that they truly deserve, that they continue to climb up in that success ladder.
Now, Richard, Brittany says the title that they deserve. Again, now, if I'm if I'm coming from a baby boomer, I'm thinking millennials, they're just new. They're just walking in the door. And if they get this title, many of them believe that they are on equal standing for those who've been around a long time. Am I off base here?
I would say so. I think the title's more so about, to Brittany's point, wanting to be in a certain room, especially if they're willing to take a cut and pay for it. If it was simply having the title, no change in pay, but I think they have a longer game or a longer end game than just taking that title to get in one room, have one meeting, and then be done with it. That just seems a little bit crazy, if you ask me.
And Dr. Hopkinson, you see millennials in the classroom all the time.
I do.
Like I do. Is this surprising when we hear these statistics that so many millennials are willing to take a pay cut to get the title? Is that something that you're seeing, experiencing with millennials, seeing them every day, every other day in your classrooms?
Well, I would say, and I've worked with millennials in the corporate sector and also, work with a lot of projects with millennials all the time. And this does not really surprise me. I think you picked up on something that Brittany said about the title you deserved.
Mm-hmm. So you heard that too.
I heard it too, because what I found, and this is sort of anecdotal, working with millennials, a lot of previous generations, we are very much about rank and understand protocol, and like you go here and you go, if you have a complaint, you go hierarchy. Up the ladder. Right. There's hierarchy. Right. That's the word. Whereas millennials, they don't really have a lot of time for that. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not really interested in that. Like, they are used to like top link. Like, you speak to anybody.
Yeah.
You go straight to the top. You know, there's no climbing up. And so the idea of getting your own getting a different title, like that's all that speaks to that. So it's not so much the money as, no, you're going to respect me on, I consider myself, I'm going to put myself on this level that I think that I'm supposed to be. Whereas maybe some of their more senior colleagues might be like, well, hold up a minute. You start where you start. And then maybe once you prove that you deserve, then you can, within the organization, then you can start moving up. Mm-hmm. But there's a little bit of a generational clash there.
Richard, do you see that? I mean, you work within a corporation. You are a millennial. Do you see those differences? And is that problematic, or have you seen it be problematic?
So I think the industry that I work in is a lot more, you know, with that traditional hierarchy type of feel. So I would say that we don't really have the autonomy to be able to say, hey, I want this job title today. I want to be this person tomorrow. But I will say, I think my point back to the baby boomers and the Gen Xers would be, if this employee is going to be more productive just by having a title, they're making you more money, what's the problem? Like, I just don't see what the issue with it is.
Would you agree, Brittany? Because I'm looking at these other statistics, and it says about 70% of millennials, well, let me look at another one. About 58% say that it's important, right, how they are perceived mm-hmm. on social media. Mm-hmm. So does that title play into that?
Definitely. I mean, we grew up in the social media era. So I think more than ever, when social media first started to boom, it was kind of a way to connect with our friends. But now it's really our professional portfolio. So I definitely think that social media allows you to build your brand. And by building your brand on those platforms, it also helps you, you know, go into a meeting room and advocate for yourself as why you need to get this title. I know you said that we haven't been around for that long, but I just did some research. I mean, millennials are age 23 to 38. So there are some out there that have been out there for a while now. I've been in the journalism industry for 10 plus years now. You know, I think that at this point, I am very well qualified to have a senior position just as much as a 35-year-old should have. But just because I'm younger does not mean that I don't deserve that title or shouldn't have that title because I haven't been around long enough.
Do you see any resistance to that point of view? Have you seen that?
Of course, yeah. I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, I had to take control of my life and my destiny, my career, and make the proper decisions for myself and search for a new role that was going to allow me to really get that title change, that money that I deserve, and also put me in a place where it's showing that I have evolved as a person in my career so far. And the only reason why I got to that point of being able to make, you know, that life decision was because of resistance in the past of what I've gone through.
Dr. Hopkinson, talk a little bit about the role of social media, mm-hmm. because Brittany talked about, you know, her career in journalism.
Yeah, and I was a social media manager before I ever, you know, was a senior EP. So I get the world of social media. It is very important.
And when I started mm-hmm. in journalism, you know, I was in a trainee program at Channel 9. And I remember I was in that for a year, mm-hmm. finished the program. And I remember the esteemed Mike Buchanan looked at me and he said, Bramante, we'll see you. Go to a small market, get to a medium market, and come back this way in about 5 years.
I remember I got told that, too. Now,
I was told that, too.
I don't know if they
ignored that as well.
Same.
Right. Well, I didn't, right? But the role of social media, as Brittany has talked about, how important is that in the way millennials see themselves and how those who aren't millennials see millennials?
I think it's really important because, you know, so I'm sort of just on the cusp. Like I was born in 1976. So I'm really just on the end where I sort of half grew up digital native, half not digital immigrant. And so I kind of can see both sides a bit. I think coming up with social media means that there's enormous amount of pressure, like the stakes that are every action you take.
Yeah. Everybody's following you. Right.
Everyone's
your
following
boss.
You. Yeah, you can be
yes,
humiliated. You could be subject to humiliation, ridicule at any moment. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, like it's very kind of a vicious. It can be a very vicious place in social media, and so it really creates a lot of anxiety. But millennials have been really brilliant at being able to, you know, use those tools and be able to do things like build a brand and to be able to do things like, okay, we're not going to skip all these little steps that you have set up for yourself, right? So the internet has really toppled a lot of hierarchies. And so this generation that sort of come up with the internet is also similarly doing that. Now, the problem with this is that there is a social media world, and then there is what one of my professors once called the table world. And so there are real things that you could touch, mm-hmm. and then there are things that are on social media. Do you live in the real world, or do you live on the social media world? I think it's probably a combination of both, but they're not equal. The real world has real consequences. The food you eat, whether there's a roof over your head, whether you have a check coming in, whether your children survive. I mean, this is the real world that people are operating in. And so the danger with social media is that if you get too carried away, you know, and you forget that there is actually there are actual consequences. And in the table world, there are hierarchies. And there are, you know, like there are things that have sort of built up over time. So, you know, that's sort of where we get in trouble, I think.
Well, and I think that's why titles matter for that reason, because we know at the end of the day, the real world still respects the hierarchy.
And so millennials understand that titles do mean something. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. And let's go to those phone lines with our first caller, Andrew, with your question or comment. Go right ahead.
Good evening. Thank you all so much for having me on. I wanted to share that I've actually had employers who have told me that they would rather pay me less and give me a higher title than, you know, the reverse in terms of pay me more with a lower title. So I think that that has to do with the liberty that we see in millennials, the fact that so many of us go from place to place. We may stay 2 years in this position or you know, 1 year, the next, and just having the really resume builder to say I've directed or I've led a particular team. And folks are really to see that, just the fact that we've been able to do that in a short amount of time.
And thank you so much. What do you think about that, Richard? Because millennials willing to move every 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I think employers are definitely taking notice that the loyalty that baby boomers and older generations have had, it just isn't there with millennials. If the impact, if we don't feel like we're valued, we'll jump ship right away. And that's something that a lot of people do know. And like I said earlier, it's a no-brainer for a business owner, especially a small business owner. If I can give this person the title that they want, pay them less than another person with similar experience, why not? Like, it just makes business sense.
And you don't see any downside to that, that those that you are working with who have been there a long time with the title maybe that might be then the same as yours, can't that, though, create a problem in a sort of a broader sense in terms of interaction among employees?
Yeah, it could. But I think also just to sort of add to this point that you were making about loyalty, you know, it's not just that the millennials are not loyal to their employers. Employers are not loyal to millennials. So previously, right. Generation, like baby boomers could expect the gold watch. You had things like pensions.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? I don't even know what that is.
Same.
You know, and so like, you know, millennials have had to come in to the workforce with enormous amounts of debt, like the costs that they have to enter into the middle class that, you know, some
unless
of us
unless you're a Morehouse graduate.
Shout out to my brother. Right.
Was your brother one of those?
He's headed that way.
Well, I mean, the thing is that let's think about the costs that millennials have had to carry, you know, mm-hmm. on the higher education system. We've dumped all the costs onto them, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so when they come out and they are in that first job, they're paying like 4 times as much than I paid 20 years ago when I graduated from undergrad. And yeah, they're going to feel a way about that. So I don't blame them, you know, for wanting to figure out how they can grab whatever capital they can, because they're not getting any real capital.
Millennials, speak to that. Richard, coming out, school loans.
So I was fortunate enough to graduate college without any student debt, but I know just having conversations, being out, talking to other people that are in my demographic, it's crazy. Like just to hear the numbers in the high 10,000, some people the 100,000s, just to get an education and start somewhere. So I can definitely see why people would want a different role to make themselves feel better, but I'm personally more old school. I'd rather have compensation rather than a title.
So you are not the prototypical millennial that I'm setting up here. Keep the title, give me the money.
I got both. I got the title and more money.
If you could choose, Brittany, between one or the other, do you want the money or do you want the title?
The money. The moolah.
And so social media, what your title is on social media doesn't matter.
I just feel like we're also millennials, so we've seen some very wacky things as far as job titles.
Yes.
Like you could be a paperboy and your title could be
influencer, public figure.
Exactly. So I think we are also in the, like we realize that some of these things don't really hold any weight. You may be the senior VP of X, Y, and Z, but let me see your resume. Let's still sit you down in an interview and ask all those questions, because that's what really matters is the substance behind it, not just a title.
Dr. Hopkinson, for those who are into the title and they want a upper level title instead of the pay, and they want to go and approach their employer, how do they do that? Because that just sounds so foreign to me, because I'm from the old school. I want the money.
Right.
Don't worry about the title. But if I do want the title,
Well, from what the study that I was reading, they had, this was an employment agency that was sort of anecdotally looking and seeing like what they were noticing, what trends they were noticing with their clients. So sometimes it might be in the negotiations stage that that people are saying, okay, well, you're offering me sales associate, and instead I'd like to be, you know, what would you say, influencer,
right? I don't
brand
know.
Strategist,
sales media strategist, yeah.
Public ambassador, right. you know, whatever, something. So they're going in saying, look, this is okay. Maybe I'm not getting the money that I really want, but I'm going to try to grab some social capital in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, this conversation is going to continue. We are talking about millennials, what they want, what is important, the role social media plays in terms of their employment, in terms of their title, and how money plays a role in the decisions they make. It's a Millennial Tuesday. Boy, if it was Monday, I'd have that alliteration. I almost said it's a Millennial Monday. So if you're on the phone line, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on 96.3 WHUR. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HRR Voices, SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, our conversation is centering on millennials, their jobs, their job title, their pay. Are they willing to take a pay cut to have a better title? We're getting a little bit of both here. Some want the money, some want the title. Our two guests here in studio say they want the money. Forget about the title. And what does social media play? What role does it play in how millennials move forward in terms of their jobs, in terms of their imaging, in terms of their branding? 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. In studio with us is Dr. Natalie Hopkinson. She's an assistant professor with Howard University's Media and Cultural Studies. And Brittany Johnson, social media strategist. And Richard Schenkel with Cintas Corporation. Correct. Thank you so much for being with us. I want to go into this Charles Schwab study. It said about a third of Washington, D.C. area residents admit their spending habits have been influenced by images and experiences shared by their friends on social media, and more than a quarter confess they spend more than they can afford to avoid missing out on the fun. And when we go through these stats, millennials are the highest in most of these categories. So Richard and Brittany, you are the two millennials. Does any of that ring true, what I just read?
100%.
Yeah.
Oh, 100, Richard, 100.
Yeah, so I didn't agree much with the last article, but this one, my weekends personally are influenced by me opening up Instagram, seeing where people are, what rooftop that is, what are they drinking, what's the music look like. You don't even have to go there. It's like experiencing, you know, 10 different clubs just by looking through a 5-minute Instagram search. It's awesome.
And is that a good thing? Can it be a bad thing? Can you be depressed then if something is happening somewhere and you can't get there? And do you feel a need to always be there by being on social media and seeing all of this?
I feel like it definitely is an influencer. I wouldn't say I'd always feel the need to be there, or if that FOMO, fear of missing out, is always setting in. There's definitely weekends where I set a plan, set an agenda. This is what I'm going to do regardless of what happens. But seeing people out, I want to be out too. It's definitely good for business, I would say.
How about you, Brittany?
Yeah, I think social media is a blessing and a curse. At the end of the day, it's a blessing because you're able to network, be connected with your friends, be able to even reach out to people you admire and maybe be connected with them. But the curse is it's become so habitual, and we are in this virtual world that's not reality, that it does definitely affect the decisions we make. It does even affect the way that we feel about ourselves sometimes. People are definitely spending money to stage photo shoots or even for these clubs. They're paying somebody to make these photos or videos look hot to gain the attention of a Richard or myself to go out into these experiences. And millennials want that. They want experiences, whether they're experiencing it on their computer or experiencing it in person. Experiences matter to millennials. This is why I think we're spending more money, for starters.
I was going to say, that. So does that go back to the money? And anyone can jump into this. That you need the money for the experiences, or are you willing to give up the money if you can still have the experiences? Does that make sense?
Not sure I understand, but
I think what I'm trying to get at is, you know, maybe some folks will take less money if they
have
can
a better quality of life.
Have
or
a better
something.
Quality of life,
right?
And is that more particular to millennials than say baby boomers or Generation Xers?
Well, I've seen surveys that say that's true, that they value experiences, they value like higher purpose, they want a higher purpose in their work. You know, they don't want to just take home a check, they want to have a calling. But where the social media part comes in and the FOMO, fear of missing out, I think that was just brilliantly explored in the Fire Festival documentaries. Did you guys see those?
Of course.
Oh my goodness.
Tell us a little bit about
that. I watched
that.
Both of them. The Fire Festival was from a few years ago. Basically, this entrepreneur in New York, social entrepreneur, came up with this idea to do this thing called the Fire Festival, F-Y-R-E, and hired a bunch of high-end models to stage a photo shoot and videos. He got Ja Rule to partner with him.
Yep.
They basically sold out this island in the Caribbean and hyped it as the next Woodstock. People ended up getting there, and they were FEMA trailers. There was no... their villas were FEMA
mess.
Trailers.
Bologna sandwiches with cheese.
Bologna sandwiches, and it became this international... Everybody was sort of... Actually, that became a social media experience,
well,
too.
People live tweeting
Fire Festival, because that was just... Even the Fire Festival... documentary that came out. So yes, and it, to me, that's like the time.
Well,
it speaks
it's
to
so
our
millennial.
Times.
It started as an app, actually. It started as a booking app. And so to book these high profile celebrities to these different places. And so the way that they felt like they could get millennial attention was to create a festival. They rented out El Chapo's Island, Family Island. They had all these influencers come in, spent, like you said, millions of dollars, staged these photo shoots. So the issue was, when those photos came out on this island and they, you know, advertised it in a way this was El Chapo's Island, they kicked them off the island and made them go to another one nearby. And so they had only but a short amount of time to create a festival. And there was no way that they could sustain, you know, all these people.
Right.
They didn't expect the big boom. They didn't realize how powerful social media was and these influencers were until these photos came out and all these influencers like come to Fire Festival. And the ticket sales blew up, and then they couldn't even house all these people came.
And who was staging it? Was it?
It was Ja Rule and the entrepreneur.
Partner, yeah.
And so
top-notch models.
Is Ja Rule a millennial? Selling what we're talking about right
Ja
now.
Was, I think he's probably about my age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm wondering, did he not get it?
No, he was sort of in over his head. He was with this guy, you know.
Who's
this,
a millennial? I think the entrepreneur is a
definitely
millennial.
Definitely millennial, 100%.
And he made reference to that a lot of times during the documentary. Like, we're selling an experience to the average Joe. Like, everybody's going to want to be here, so that's how we're going to sell these tickets. And that's what they did, regardless of having it ready or not.
But they kept selling it. Where the fraud came in was that they kept selling it past. They sold things that didn't exist, actually.
Yes.
There were no villas. There were no package. There was luxury food. But people were so excited and so afraid, oh my God, we're going to miss Woodstock. You know, we have our chance right now. We have to be there. And Bella Hadid or whatever the supermodel is going to be
Chanel
there.
Yeah, I think
there.
Some of these bodegas were sold up to like 200K.
Yeah. And so they made a lot of money, but really they were perpetrating a fraud the whole time. And so when people did land on the island and they were sent to FEMA trucks, you know, so there's a lot of
hot mess. They
people
kept
were laughing
they
at the millennials.
The
Gen Xers especially, I remember what had happened. We were all just mocking them, like, you know.
Jokes on you.
Yep, that's what you get.
And
your little FOMO.
But is that somewhat part of it too? Perception? Is there a misperception? Richard and Brittany, and even, you know, Dr. Hopkins, and you can get into this, of millennials, who they are, what they're about, what they want.
Right.
And especially from the baby boomers, do you think we look down on the millennials?
I think you guys do. Like, if you think back to people growing up in the 70s, what they were doing, what was hot at that time, I think their, you know, the generation previous to them was looking at them like, hey, these kids are wild. You know, they're hippies. Oh, this is going on. They're a little bit too free-spirited. You fast forward to 2019, we're hearing the same thing about people in the same age generation. So it's just like, maybe we need to kind of get off our backs a little bit and just look at history, because it always repeats itself.
And he makes a great point. Richard makes a great point, Brittany, and as a history instructor, right? The past is never the past. It's not even dead, as Faulkner would say. And so are we over analyzing millennials in some way? They just have different tools to do different things than maybe what I didn't have, right?
The way we think is different. We just spoke about this before we even came on air, you know. Every millennial is different at the end of the day. Millennials are evolving. And that means that you can't judge, you know, the stereotypical millennial anymore, because the studies that maybe came out 5 years ago, millennials are changing as the economy is changing, as businesses are booming. So to say that we might be lazy or we're more into this, you know, into photos or things like that, into our phones, when the reality is not true. Because millennials are getting older, millennials are having babies, millennials are feeling the real world effect, and that's why money does matter, and that's why titles matter, because we know at the end of the day, those go hand in hand when succeeding in the real world.
And I know some would argue in many ways millennials are probably a few steps ahead of us baby boomers because of the information that you have, that where we had to go to the library,
or we
had to have a encyclopedia. You know, I still use MapQuest and print it out. Don't tell anybody that.
That's wild.
That's a waste of paper.
You can just ask your phone.
But I do print on the other side of papers here at work. You see there?
As a millennial, I am shaming you right now.
Richard is shaming me. But let's go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Gwen, go right ahead with your question or comment.
I just wanted to say that I think this is an absolutely excellent topic. I am so impressed with millennials that I work with. I am a baby boomer professional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a judge, and I deal with young lawyers all day long. And just to listen to them and to see how they assess situations, and how intelligent they are, and how strategic they are with every move that they make. Sitting in a job for 10 to 20 years, hoping you're going to climb the corporate ladder, is absolutely not the way to do it.
Mm.
We have to get on board. We have to strategize like the millennials. I have two millennial children. They're both lawyers. And we have conversations all the time about how you don't have to sit and wait for anything. You see something you want, you make a plan, and you have a vision, and you go after it. And it's not that you have to walk over anybody or abuse the system. You just have to be strategic, intelligent, and have substance behind you. And listening to these young people on your program, it's so invigorating. And baby boomers, we have to wake up. We have to take these young people under our wings, because this is the future.
Well, thank you so much, Gwen.
I am just so impressed with your program today.
Well, thank you. And as a fellow baby boomer, I gotta say, I do agree, because I'm trying to catch up to what these folks are doing, right? And I've got a daughter who, I guess, 15. I don't even know what group that is.
Maybe Gen Z. Yeah.
Z, right? And she wants to get on Instagram, and we were having this conversation yesterday. And I said, you got to talk to your mother, because I don't know anything about Instagram. I still use Yahoo, and I know people laugh at that. So what am I missing? What is someone like me missing in terms of millennials, Dr. Hopkins?
Well, I just want to sort of echo what the caller said. Millennials are amazing, and they have so much energy, and they're so diverse, and they're so, like, there's so much that you can say about it. And what I would like to see is I would like to see them seize power from the baby boomers. Because the baby boomers, however people keep talking, well, I mean, who's in charge of our country, though?
Yeah.
People are clinging. They are not getting off the mic. They are not ceding anything. And millennials, with their smarts and their energy, I think that they need to, I would like to see that go into politics. I would like to see them take over a lot of different areas. And I think it would be really positive for our country if they listen. So sometimes they don't listen. Sometimes millennials, they're so impatient. We were talking about this earlier. My son is an 18-year-old, right? And he's just started internship. First day, right? He's at a hedge firm or something. First day, he said, yeah, I got it. I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how can you possibly get it after day one?
Right.
Right? You Googled it, and so now you know it. Like, they just think they have so much at their... They have so much information, and they have so much power at their fingertips that they, so I just would like them to listen.
And Richard, I think, and Brittany, I think that's the rub. I really do. have so much information at your fingertips, yeah. Right? And in dealing with some of my students, you know, they can look up stuff real quick and say, well, Professor Bryant.
This is actually true.
But can you contextualize it? Can you analyze it? Can you put it in context? And I think sometimes that's the pushback with millennials, that you have so much information, but do you know how to use it and repurpose it and comprehend it? Am I off there a little bit?
No, you're right, because reading comprehension was a struggle right. for a while growing up.
And even being a millennial, thinking back to college, you can do a paper in one yeah. night, read the article the same day, Spark look up notes. A couple things online, and you're good to go. Like, boom, bam, done.
Yeah.
And you haven't really grasped any of that all information.
Right. And the professors are trying to figure out how you're finding, what you're finding, and where you're getting this information from. So we have to sort of catch up, even though we want them to lead. We have to catch up in knowing what they know.
We have to catch up, but they also have to catch up. Because Google, so this is part of the thing about social media. These algorithms are designed to manipulate you. Mm-hmm. When you type in Google, that is not the truth. When you log into your Facebook, it is not the truth. It is an algorithm that is designed to make you want to buy things. And so you're really being manipulated in this space. And so those of us who are, I think I feel myself privileged to have been able to have my brain wired for the most part before the internet, because you know there are facts and there's evidence that's true and that sort of stands up across time. And then there's things that somebody just threw up on Google, like the Fyre Festival.
I agree with that. But at the same time, because I am a millennial and I actually Googled that to figure out why I kept seeing things pop up on my phone. Like, we're educated enough and we have so much access to things that even with that, you know, I know that I just talked about golf clubs or something the other day. I see that pop up on my Facebook. I'm not going to buy those just because I know that I'm being targeted right now.
Now, I want to bring something up really quick. Dr. Hopkins' son is 18, which means he's actually a Gen Zer. Mm-hmm. And I told her this earlier in the sense of, I feel fortunate enough that at least until like age 12, we didn't have the internet either, and we didn't know how to use it yet. Like, AOL and AIM came around when we were in like fifth, sixth grade. My brother, who is your son's age, definitely doesn't listen to, because all he knows is Ask Siri or Google this and the third. So that impatience is even, you know, less in a sense. So I think millennials are a little fortunate enough where, for the most part, we do understand that there needs to be a listening, you know, phase to things, too.
All right. We have more on this conversation, and it is different.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting. We've got three groups here, again, Gen Xer, millennial, and a baby boomer, and different aspects. But more than anything, as our caller Gwen said, millennials, I must admit, that you're on it. But I do want to get to some more issues in terms of you millennials when we come back. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Insight segment will continue right after this timeout. Welcome back to The Daily Draw. More Nature, Our Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bride in for Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are focusing on millennials, what they want in their job in terms of title, in terms of money. Is one more important than the other? How social media plays a role in their career choices and how they move forward. That and a whole bunch of other stuff regarding millennials, even Gen Xers, and baby boomers. Phone lines are open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. I think we have one other caller. No, we don't. I'm reading that wrong. I want to talk, guys, about, I remember J.C. Hayward, who worked at Channel 9 for four decades, right? And she told me, she said one time, you know, a rat always has to have a second hole. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? You always got another, have to have another little hole that you can run into. And she was talking about jobs, right? Mm-hmm. You've got to have some other little hustle that you've got that you can slide to in case something else falls out. Is that really a mantra for millennials, that they know that, hey, I may not be at one job forever, so I've got to make sure I've got another little rat hole that I can run into, Richard or Brittany?
Yeah, I think from what I know about millennials and being a millennial, I think it's more about the impact and what they're actually doing on the side versus just having, you know, extra couple dollars or, you know, wanting to be able to protect yourself in the event that your job doesn't exist anymore. I think for me personally, like, you know, I do have my 9-to-5 job, but in my spare time, I work very, very closely with the local nonprofit here, Good Projects DC. So I think for me, you know, I know that I have to sustain my life, but I'm really, really interested in social impact. So that's my way to get that. I think a lot of us are fortunate enough to be able to have both while working, you know, that standard 9-to-5. But for other of us who can't do that, it's, you know, after hours when it's my time, I'm going to go ahead and do something, maybe even pro bono, just to get that impact that I'm missing from the day-to-day, you know, work.
I agree. I think that not, you know, all employers may value themselves, but at the end of the day, millennials value themselves for sure. And so with that being said, millennials are multi-talented just for the reason that, you know, we grew up in this day and age where we can be on social media, et cetera. So they're realizing, okay, I can have like 5 different jobs and find a way to balance them all and then make triple or double the money
exactly. Because
of my talents. Like, nothing is free. So why should, you know, my outside hours of volunteering, whatever, be free of charge as well? And so you're really picking those side hustles that truly matter to you, that allow you to focus on creating a true impact or a legacy for sure.
Dr. Hopkinson, we had talked off air before the show began, and you told me that how the census... Mm-hmm. It only notates one group.
Yeah, so right? baby boomers.
Why is that?
The World War II generation, I mean, they're really the only one that's a true generation. So a lot of these things, like we make these generalizations about baby boomers and about millennials and about Gen Xers, mm-hmm. and we have these sort of like prototype or archetype that we've created around these generations, but they're really not rooted in any like real.
It's nothing real.
They're not real. I mean, different sociologists make different arguments over, okay, this is the generation and this is where to draw the line. You know, so you're 6 years younger than me, then you're a millennial, or if you're me, then you're in Gen X, you know. But, you know, a lot of the things, what I think is real though, is that the internet, you know, exploded like earthquake on our culture, mm-hmm. and disrupted a lot of industries. It disrupted our communication. It disrupted everything. And so you do see that disruption in a gen. It is going to play out generationally. Like, you know, like when something hit, it's going to, you know, depending on how old you were at the time, it is going to sort of impact you in that way. And so there are things that you can generalize around millennials. And, you know, we kind of have a parlor game, you know, saying, oh, these millennials, you know, and they're really something extra. But every generation, you know, mm-hmm. as we said, every generation
has a little
thinks
extra-ness. It,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Every generation thinks that the one coming after them has gone to the dogs, you know. But the things that are really real are the economic instability, and the sort of the social instabilities, the sort of chaos that we're sort of trying to live through. And to be a young person trying to get yourself established in this, you know, crazy time, I mean, it's very challenging.
And Richard, just sort of piggybacking that, when we're talking about economic instability, even though the president may say, hey, the economy is the best it's been in 40 years.
It's great.
Right. Does that mean anything for millennials? We talked about changing jobs, but if you could stay in a job for 20 years, would you do it?
I feel like, personally, if the situation was the right situation for me, if I was getting that compensation, that impact, and doing something that I love to do, then why not? Like, I don't think anybody goes into a job thinking about the next one, day one.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I am a little bit more old school, but I wouldn't just switch a job just because I'm bored and I want to try something new. It would have to be a reason. Impact, compensation, or, you know, doing something that I love doing.
And then while I was asking that question, Brittany, over and to the right, I could see you, and you were shaking your head going, no, no, no.
I am loyal. I do love the fact that you can stay at a company for a very long time, but I think the way our millennial brains are programmed, we like change and we embrace change, so... I don't know if it's boredom that makes us make that next move, but I think it's just something about redundancy and being a little stagnant. And 20 years, you're starting to realize, like, what else could I have been doing? I don't know. I just see that not happening more and more. You know what I mean?
I don't think staying at the same company means that you're doing the same thing either.
Right, of course.
You could have 20 jobs in 20 years, but
facts.
I get it, yeah.
And you can also do, I mean, the other really positive trend with millennials that you see is that they are more interested in work-life balance. And mm-hmm. it's not just
definitely
women.
Right.
Like, they talk about, you know, like, I have had friends who, okay, again, we're in our early 40s mostly, but who have argued with their wives over who would take off time with the kids. Mm. You know, like, that's a relatively new thing. Like, men are really interested in spending time with their families. And, you know, and I think that's where some of the you know, that's one of the really positive differences in this generation, right, too.
Because we know that's what matters.
And yeah. It was funny. I had a mentor when I first started working and was trying to, you know, work 80 hours a week, you know, have those 12 to 14 hour days. And he was like, hey, man, like, you know, you're doing a good job, but if you pass away tomorrow, your job is going to be posted before your funeral.
Crazy.
So he's like, have fun. Like, don't take life too serious. Don't take work too serious. And that's advice from, you know, a Gen Xer. They get it as well that, you know, this isn't the end all be all.
And I was going to ask in our last few moments, and I think some of you may have already hit it, if, you know, for our listeners, if there was a takeaway in our conversation that you would want them to leave our conversation with, what would that be? Anybody can jump
don't
in.
Don't hate, embrace millennials. There's so much that we both can learn from each other. But I think no matter what age you are, look out for yourself first at the end of the day. You know, make sure that you're being treated well, valued, and then the rest will follow. Titles don't matter, but we all know what type of world we live in.
And do you feel some of that hate coming millennial ways or coming your way?
I mean, I just feel like they're all, you know, I just feel a lot of people are like, millennials are this or they're, you know, they categorize us too, you know, too much instead of just embracing what they could maybe learn from millennials. Instead of being defensive or resisting, you know, who millennials are, what, you know, we're bringing to this world, embrace that and figure out how you can learn and flow with it. Because like Dr. Hopkins said, we're the now and the future for sure.
How about you, Richard?
Yeah, I think my takeaway is just going to be, you know, don't take life too serious. You don't get out alive. So try something new if you have something that you've really been thinking about doing or you're really thinking about taking that jump and trying a new industry or a new job. Go for it. You know, what's the worst that could happen?
Dr. Hopkinson?
Yeah, I think that, you know, our country is replenished by new ideas, new people, new perspectives, people who are not jaded by the ways that things have always been, people who are not too cynical. And so I see millennials that I've had my run-ins, we'll say, am having my run-ins right now as I speak. But as that, you know, I look at them, they're like a storm. It's like a beautiful storm or I don't know. It's just like a beautiful act of nature that, you know, maybe a rainbow's coming.
I like
and I just want to get behind it, you know, and I just want to be, you know, like I want to sort of support it, get out of the way as much as possible. But also, you know, you have to sort of reach back a little bit too.
Yes.
And so let's move together through this.
I like that. Very, very well said closing thoughts. I'm going to hop on the rainbow. I will hop on the rainbow.
We're going to take this ride.
Yes.
You got it.
She is Dr. Natalie Hopkinson, Assistant Professor with Howard University's Communication, Culture, and Media Studies. She is Brittany Johnson, Senior Executive Producer at Podcast Village.
Yes.
And he is Richard Shankle, Account Manager with Cintas Corporation. We thank all of you for being part of our conversation. That's the Daily Drum on HR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. For this Tuesday, May 28th, I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher.